Where do children go when they die? Is there a place there?
Good question.
Special place for them.
Yes. Well, I thought I would read something from you, which really kind of tells you everything. Because as adults, it's a little different. And over 25 years of receiving messages from spirit, they've told me, described to me what the other side looks like. But it seems that it's that more from a child when a child passes over. So I wrote down a little bit in the book of what a child, this girl, Kylie, came back to me. She came back to me months later in a dream, and she showed me what her tour was like of heaven. And I wrote down a little bit when I woke up what that was like. So I wrote that in my book, and I'd like to read that a little bit.
Sure, please.
Spirits often speak about the spirit world as a magical kaleidoscope filled with rich and vivid colors. Spirits not only see color, they feel color. Colors are not only seen alive about them, they also communicate with specific qualities. Red communicates power and vitality. Blue translates into tranquility and fluidity. Green indicates healing and caring. Yellow represents intellectual intellect and so forth. When spirits of children appear to me, their colors are beautifully bright. And they have not had enough time in the earthly lives to be contaminated by the darker energies of judgment. Because senses are heightened and alert in the spirit world, communication is also very different. On Earth, we have to use computers and cell phones to communicate. In spirit, every idea is exchanged through thought. As soon as a spirit thinks, it is thought that manifests and becomes reality. Many of the works are done through thought and feeling. Let's see. As Herbert, her guide, described, when children arrive, they are greeted by a guide in the hall of reception. From there on, they visit an open arena to receive a cleansing of earthly emotional patterns acquired during their sojourns on Earth. Rarely do children have negative energies of their own, depending on their previous earthly environment. Whether it was nurturing and happy or depressing and restricted, any negative energies that attaches to them is from the beliefs of their parents, relatives, teachers, and friends. So when children enter the open arena, a shower of light energy washes over them, cleansing away any unwanted energy that may have stuck to them on Earth. That's how they enter heaven.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
And you've talked about, for a parent, for example, when they grieve, that they block themselves in grief and despair. How do they get rid of that block?
It's a very, very, very difficult thing to do because, again, it's a natural feeling of I coulda, shoulda, woulda, a
sure.
guilt sense. And it's a process. It is a process. And I can never say to someone, or no one should ever say to somebody, oh, just get over it, or when they're alive, be over it. No, it's a process. And I think that as the time goes by, because they never will get over it, but they learn to live with it, that they maybe it'll help them, and I've seen it happen many times, that it forces them to get on this spiritual path. It forces them to question their own lives, their own judgments, their own values, so forth. And in many, many cases, it does force them to look at life and death in a certain way. And once they get to a point where there's an acceptance, it seems to be there's a little bit rippling of an opening, and that there's an opening up. And that's when the child can get through to them. That's when the spirit is able to get through to them because they're not blocked. Because as parents have lost a child, all they're consumed with is guilt and I should have, and I'm my loss, my grief, my loss. And that does block a child. It blocks the spirit from coming through because everything is energetic. And if they're going to block that thought, their thoughts, this energetic thought, with these feelings of grief and loss, the child has a harder time to get through to their thoughts. It's mind-to-mind communication, and they can't get through to their soul mind if it's blocked.
The parent who loses their child in Afghanistan or Iraq, a soldier,
mm-hmm.
they go through the same kind of grief as mm-hmm. one would who loses a little baby or child, right?
Sure, and I've had many soldiers come back from alternate wars, Afghan, Iran. I've had them walk down venues where they walk down the aisle and they go down to their parent and they put their arms around the parent's shoulder. And that's how I've made the connection. I've had many, many soldiers come back and say, that was in my soul's history. I've done many battles before, and it was a natural occurrence for me.
Does the child pick up on the parent's despair?
Very much so. They hear their thoughts. They feel them. They know their prayers. They know their grief. And I've had many, many a child come back to the parents and say, why are you crying? Why are you looking down at the dirt? I'm not buried down there. Why do you look up at that little, you know, urn on your mantle? I'm not there. I'm more than that. I'm everywhere. I'm part of you. It seems that they're much bigger, much more expansive than, of course, our limited physical, you know, ways. We could have put them that way.
When a child gets to heaven, is there are there duties for them?
Yes, there are activities. Let me say also, George, that soldiers who have passed over have often, not all of them, but many of them have come back and said, I would do it again, all over again, because that was in my soul fabric,
sure,
my soul makeup,
absolutely,
to do this type of work, this battle type of thing. There are many, many activities over there, depending on the soul, what they want to perfect and work on, their innate abilities, whether that be artistic abilities and interests, such as sculpting or artwork or design. There are places there they go to, schools, if you want to say schools, places of learning to perfect those innate gifts within that soul. And they will also prepare for the next incarnation as well. They can do works over there that will prepare them. Let's say they want to be a doctor in the medical field. There are places that can prepare them to do these sorts of things. Build up their soul innate energy, if you will.
Do you find that more and more people are beginning to get tuned into this?
Oh, very much so. Oh, very, very much. Since we started talking years ago,
yeah,
it's a whole different world, isn't it? It's pretty amazing. I mean, I've had many, many people come up to me who do come up to me and thank me for getting things started. And they used to read my first books and used to see me on TV shows. And they want to thank me for making it acceptable, if you will. That's much, much more acceptable, which is what part of my mission was, you know, to bring it to the mainstream. Because we all have experiences. We all have feelings. We have deja vus. We sense things, all the sense things, and now we're learning to listen to those senses.
Do you think your upbringing helped you to have this ability?
Yes, very, very much so. Very, very much so. I look back, and I had an alcoholic parent, and I was put away into a seminary, private seminary, to learn about my religion, and all of those things have helped me. My mother being an alcoholic taught me compassion. At the time, it was very, very difficult.
Did you get along with her?
Oh, I loved her. Oh, yeah, we had a great, great relationship. But she wasn't the same when she would drink, you see.
So I noticed that you dedicated this book to your sister.
My sister, Maura, who helped me when we were children. My mother was an alcoholic, and my sister and I would be the ones who would always help each other out, if you will, and get through it. And, she's great.
Watched your backside for you.
Yes, she certainly did. She certainly did. And it helps us. All of our life experiences, from children up, childhood up, do help us. And, you know, this is another thing, George. People who've lost children, you never know when that experience will help somebody else later on to, you know, or lose a children.
That's true.
You never know. You never know what you're going through right now, but it seems very difficult and very hard to go through, how that will have so much benefit later on. It really will. So people just got to realize that.
I don't know what's better for a parent, a child to go quickly or to be prolonged. They're both bad.
They're both bad. They really are. They're both bad. I think in any situation when it comes to a transition, the faster they can go, I feel the better for them. So they don't have to suffer here, physically suffer, and have the parent or friends emotionally and mentally suffer. I think it's quicker would be the better. But I also believe that, again, that soul's design is, like there are some souls who have to live forever with Alzheimer's or dementia. And we think, well, why don't we just, you know, we can just euthanize them because we euthanize animals. Well, maybe there's a lesson, a very, very valuable lesson that soul has to learn when they're 90 years old.